Joining us now on the line, head coach of your Carolina Hurricanes, Bill Peters, joins us now on the Merrick vs. Wyszynski podcast. It's me, Greg, and Jeff is over there. Welcome to the show, sir. We've been dying to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you guys today?
We're doing well, and I want to jump right in with, you know, I was running down a sort of laundry list of underlying numbers of what your Carolina Hurricanes have been doing specifically defensively, and not just in the defensive zone, but what really jumps out for a lot of people that follow underlying numbers is your defense in the neutral zone is crazy good. Now, these numbers are from about a week ago, but first in neutral zone defensive plays, first in loose puck recoveries in the neutral zone stick checks, number one, first in blocked opposition passes in the neutral zone, first in neutral zone passes, second in cross ice passes in the neutral zone. What sort of, Bill, I'm curious, what sort of tweaks or what have you been doing with this team that allows these types of numbers to emerge?
Well, you know what? We have good, obviously, we got to translate that into some goals in transition, and that'll translate to some wins. But we're in good spots. Obviously, the guys work hard to have good body position and are aware of lanes and stick positioning and all the little details that come along with it. So got to give the guys credit for working hard in that situation and establishing and maintaining good body position.
During your tenure there in Carolina, obviously this is year two for you. When did you feel like things started to click with this group insofar as what you were trying to teach them and them really getting the system?
Well, you know what? Probably, I don't know, some point in November, you could see we were turning the corner. We held on to the puck more. Our young D got more comfortable holding on to the puck and, you know, in traffic and making plays in tight spaces, what you have to do in order to exit your zone cleanly, to lead through, to speed through the neutral zone, to give yourself an opportunity to have some zone time. And that's kind of, for me, when it started to turn. And we had some success, you know, outplayed a few teams, outshot a few teams, still didn't get the wins that we needed. But the process was, you know, being undertaken, and it was a good process. And we've stayed with it, and we've had better results here recently.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, talking about that process, the one thing that I think people have really been able to pick up on and notice with your D, even as young as it may be, you know, outside of John Michael Lyles, the way that your defense can gap up quickly and then quickly transition to join a rush 5-on-5. Like, how long a process, I'm curious about the coaching process through all this, how long does it take to train a group of defensemen as a collective to do that?
Well, I think I really do believe this when I tell you this. The younger the D, the easier it is, because that's how they've played their whole lives. The older the D-man, you get a little resistance. And it's not really resistance. It's just not how they broke into pro hockey. Now the D are in the rush all the time. You know, D are pre-gap. D are comfortable, you know, going down low underneath the hash marks in the offensive zone. D-men, you know, the younger D-men, the modern game, they're comfortable driving the middle. They know, they trust that people will cover for them. The older D are less trusting, and, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the game's evolving all the time. Subtle little changes to the game, and either you evolve and change with it or you get left behind.
For sure. Jeff Skinner has 17 goals for you this season, which is one off his total all of last season. I'm a huge fan of this kid. I feel like it's real tough when you have the amount of success he had early and then have to deal with some injuries and then try to kind of recapture that. What have you seen year to year from Skinner insofar as his output?
Oh, Skinny's had a real good year for us. Like, I've really seen a big improvement in him. He's healthy. He's 100% healthy. I really like the line. We called up Phil DiGiuseppe from the American Hockey League here yesterday. He's going to play in Toronto kid. And that line of Skinner, Rask, and DiGiuseppe has been very effective. Phil gives it some pace. Skinny's a dangerous guy from the top of the circles down. He really loves to score. Smart player in practice. Very, very smart. Like, you talk about the neutral zone. Skinny knows where to be, and he's got great stick, and he's stripping pucks. At one point, somebody told me he led the NHL in takeaways. I don't know if that's true or not anymore. But he's had a good year. He's a big piece of what we're doing. He's still a young kid, and he's got a bright future.
Speaking of bright futures, one of the players that I always, you know, sort of can't take my eyes off of right now is Elias Lindholm, who's a high draft pick, as you well know. What are your thoughts on where he's at with his game right now?
No, he's coming a million mile an hour. Lindy was in the NHL too early. He played when he was probably physically not able to or shouldn't have been in the league, but he was for whatever reason. Got hurt Got set back a little bit because of that. It happens to a lot of young guys. If they arrive too early, they get hurt. And then their progress and their maturation is stunted somewhat. But he's grown into his body. He's got, you know, he's got good strength, got good hockey strength, real good hockey sense. And he's a big piece of it. We're going to put him on our penalty kill unit here. Today he's got to take some pride in that. He's good on the power play. He's good on the walls. And at some point, we're going to probably have to put him back into the middle. So drafted as a centerman, playing on the wing right now. Comfortable playing down low. Good on faceoffs on that line now. So we got Eric Staal taking him on the left side and Lindy on the right. That helps us be a good faceoff team. So again, he's one of the foundation building blocks that we do have that we're very happy with.
The goaltending situation is interesting for a lot of reasons. How have you approached it this year? Like, are you hoping that either Eddie or Cam grabs the reins, maybe, you know, puts together a run where they get the call for 7 or 8 straight games? And also, do you anticipate both of these guys being here through the season?
Well, I worry about practice tomorrow and the game in Toronto on Thursday is what I worry about. I don't look too far down the road. I don't buy green bananas. I'm a coach, so I need somebody to grab the job and become the guy, though. Like, I know what the NHL save percentage average is. I know where ours is, and I know how big a difference it makes over the course of 82 games. So, you know, they've got different strengths and abilities, and if one guy gets hot, we'll ride him. We're in a situation right now till the deadline that we've got to make up some ground. We're not where we want to be. We're underneath that cut line as far as the playoff spot is concerned, but we're right there. So we need to go on an extended run. All good teams do that, and if we are a good team, we will be able to do that.
Bill, I can recall, and we all can, you know, some of the greatness that was Scotty Bowman and some of the things that he would have, you know, elite level teams. I mean, Montreal Canadiens, I mean, that squad would have them doing in practice. And one of the things that sort of raised eyebrows around the NHL, although it made a lot of sense, was practicing line changes. And I know when you took over in Carolina, that was one of the things you used to do. Last time I checked in, you were still doing that. Are you still practicing line changes with the Hurricanes?
Well, I think it's something that you gotta touch on every once in a while. It's a good little drill. It's actually a hidden bag skate. Don't tell anybody that, but we call it the line change drill, but it's a hidden bag skate. And if you do it for about 3.5 minutes once every 2-3 weeks,
yeah,
that's all you need. So yeah, it's good. Now I let the cat out of the bag. That's dumb on my behalf.
We won't tell. Nobody listens to this podcast, Bill. Come on.
You're fine.
It's plant seeds and it's good habits. You know what, in the NHL now too, you can cheat on line changes, it looks like. It's fairly apparent. So don't be afraid to be aggressive on line changes and just know your routes, know where you're going, and it matters, believe me.
For sure. I obviously know where you came from as far as your NHL coaching history here, but who were your biggest influences in your career as far as your coaching temperament, your systems, everything else?
Well, you know what, system play is something that evolves as you coach and as you as a player, you know, no matter what level you're at, there's things that you like the way the game is played. You know, you watch hockey and things change over time, forecheck systems, neutral zones, everything else, D zones collapsing, the size of those zones change. When rule changes happen, it makes you adjust to certain things. You want to get out ahead of it. But, I'm a small town guy. I grew up in a small town. We had real good youth sports. We had good youth hockey, youth baseball, and those guys, the Bob James of the world, the Brian Sorensens of the world, you know, instilled a passion to play and a love of the game. And then I was fortunate enough to play for some good guys growing up and just been around the game a lot and like talking hockey and like watching hockey and picking guys' brains. There's a lot of good people that I've crossed paths with here recently. And one guy that I love bumping into all the time and talking hockey with is Scotty Bowman. He's a brilliant mind, and he's always got ideas. And what happens when you talk to Scotty, mm-hmm. as soon as he hears either what he wants to hear or thinks you're full of it, that he's on to the next question. He doesn't waste too much time.
Three Hills, Alberta. Am I right on that one?
You are right, yep.
Did you ever meet Willie DeWitt?
No, but I know he's a Grand Prairie boy, so I know who he is, know the boxing background and everything else, but I've never met Willie DeWitt.
Okay, I thought he was a Three Hills guy. I want to ask you about 3-on-3 overtime, and I wonder why you use 2 defensemen and 1 forward. What's the philosophy behind that?
Well, we just started doing that here recently and lost a game doing it, but we won a game doing it in Columbus. And I'm not set one way or the other. I go 1 and 2 twice, and then I go 2 forwards and 1 D-man once. It's kind of my rotation if we ever get that deep. And my D skates so well that I want them on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. We were talking about Eric Staal before.
Noah Hanifin and Jacob Slavin aren't household names around the NHL, but in 3-on-3 overtime, those guys are in all alone with the goaltender at least once every game. And I don't have forwards who do that, so I'm trying to find a way to scratch out that extra point. I'd do anything if it's 3 forwards or 1 and 2 and 2 and 1. Whatever gives me, in my opinion, and our coaching staff the best opportunity to win, we're going to do. And by no means are we being defensive-minded when we go 1 and 2. We're trying to get that extra point and score that goal to be the game winner.
You know, you mentioned you don't buy green bananas, but how happy was the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes when Noah Hanifin fell into their laps at 5?
Well, I might have even had a pop that night. I was that happy. I was very happy. I was a very happy man. I'll tell you what. I'm fortunate. I work for a committed owner and a great general manager. We have a great management group. They want to build from the back end out, so do I, and we're well on our way with that. We've got 2 D-men out of the NCAA, older a little bit, and Brett Pesce and Jacob Slavin, who have been really good, probably better than we could have anticipated. We're excited about the Hayden Fleurys and the Roland McEwens of the world that are coming off World Junior experience, no different than Sebastian Aho and Alex Nedeljkovic. We're excited about what we got going here. We've got a long way to go. We're well aware of that. If the GM can keep the coach patient, we should have a good team here shortly.
That's awesome. Last one for me, Bill. We were talking about Eric Staal before, and I was wondering, have you had to sit down with him at all and talk about the pressures he's facing? Obviously, this being the free agent year and swirl of speculation about his future in Carolina, or is this guy been in the league long enough where he compartmentalizes it all and is able to kind of fight through all that uncertainty and just play the game?
We had that meeting September 17th. We had physicals in our team meeting, and I met with Stalzi. We talked about it, talked about how we wanted to handle it. We put everything out on the table that day, and we're not talking about it again. If he ever wants to come into my office and bring it up, I'm here for him. He knows that. And if I ever think that I need to bring it up, I will, but I don't. He's a good player. Boy, I'll tell you what, 6'4", centerman who makes plays, can play the wing. And we don't use him on the penalty kill, but he was a good penalty killer earlier in his career. And the reason we don't is we use him 5-on-5 offense, bumping up, coming off of a kill. Good on the power play down low, net front. You know, whatever happens, that's a 6'4" centerman that's a proven commodity. Teams need that, and this team needs that.
And last one for me, Bill, and I know I focused a lot of my questions on your blue line, but I'm fascinated by it. How married are you, or how divorced are you, to the idea of 3 righties, 3 lefties?
Oh, I'm married to 3-and-3 for sure. Love it. Makes a big difference through the neutral zone for sure in transition. Makes a big difference in the ozone, keeping plays alive on the wall. And I've coached enough guys that have played the offside, and it's an art. I respect the people who can do it immensely. But it takes a little bit away from their games. Some guys can't do it, period. They're not even the same player when they try and do it, so it's unfair to put them in that situation. We've got a guy who can do it, and we're fortunate in Jacob Slavin, but when Jake plays on the right side, he doesn't generate nearly as much offense in transition as he does on the left side. So I'd prefer he be on the left side with a right-handed partner. In a perfect world, I'd have 8. I'd have 4 lefties, 4 righties, and away we'd go.
Right. This has been fascinating. Bill, continued success. Good luck against the Maple Leafs in a couple of days, and we look forward to catching up down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Awesome. You too. Bill Peters, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes.